from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll talk with visual artist Dan Cooper about a new performance artwork he's working on.
I'll find out how you produce opera on demand.
And I'll get a preview of the Modus Dance Company's pairings performance and wine tasting. Plus, there'll be our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Painter Dan Cooper's upcoming one-person show at the Arts Council's Gallery 924 features his paintings, of course, but also some performance art. Travis DiNicola spoke with Dan, as well as poet Bovary Taritas and musician Justin Lahr, about the show.
Dan, Bovary, Justin, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you all here.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Dan, let's start with you, because this is your show, and that you're about to open the season show, and a one-man show. And you're a painter. I mean, that's what I know you as. And here you are expanding your palette to bring in some performers. And how'd this happen?
Well, I guess I'm known as a painter, but at the Indianapolis Arts Center, where I'm an instructor, I teach everything except painting. I teach photography, drawing, video and photography.
But you don't teach music or poetry.
No.
Okay.
I know. That's pretty wild, isn't it? Well, for my show, at which is called Seasons, I am exploring the different times of the year and equating that with quantum physics and a lot of art stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
But just to keep it fun and exciting, one of the things I wanted to do from a couple of years ago was know a poet. And I actually was searching for a poet, and I had an idea in mind of a painting that would include a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And at a creative gathering that many of you know, Travis Little.
Sure. Also painter.
Painter and photographer. Hosts a group that can be like 30 to 50 people getting together every other month or so. And one day, this beautiful young lady sat across from me, and we started talking, and I found out that she's a poet. So I was like, let me read something, you know, and I was like, wow, I can't believe this is like something how I would write. The whole point of finding another artist, another poet, was I could write something myself, but
sure,
I wanted another take on on everything that I'd been discovering for myself and share that. And so Bovary was excited to be a part of a project like that. And then I was thinking about, you know, back in the old days when you had poetry, you'd have a reading, and you could have a coffee shop, and everybody's wearing black, and bongo drums.
And berets and snapping your fingers.
Yeah, so that's like music.
Mm-hmm.
We should do a performance piece and get music involved. And then that led into the fact that I do video, and it just was, I was at that point thinking that, because Seasons 4, everything started coming up, fours, I'm having four different media with painting, drawing, photographs and video, that this is a perfect example of how a music video got born, was the fact that here we had music and poetry and I'm doing video. Wow, let's put them all together.
So the three of you start working together, and this is very fun, and I'm assuming that Bovary and Justin, that you agree with the way this has been told. That
Yeah,
I mean, did the painting for you, Dan, I mean, was this something that you had a painting in mind first, or did the work sort of come out of this whole process of working with the
I had the painting in mind before I met Bovary.
Okay, but you hadn't created it yet, is that
correct? I couldn't paint it until I knew what the poem was.
Okay. And does the painting actually, you said you wanted to incorporate the poem into the painting. I mean, is there the words of the poem on the painting or in the painting? Or?
Yes, the words are actually in the painting, as well as it being a painting, and there's also four paintings attached to it.
Very cool. Okay. So, Bovary, tell me about your experience here as far as being approached by Dan to be a part of this. What's this been like for you?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere, really, because when I met Dan, it was just initially so casual and so much fun. You know, I never really thought that, you know, anything creative would come out of it or the opportunity to make something and do something new. And I really have a lot of respect for Dan and the type of artist that he is and how long you've been around here in Indianapolis. And so it was just really great.
Did you have parameters that he gave you as far as what to work on or think about in terms of what you were writing?
I kind of had to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I began a work, and Dan was really...
We've been meeting for months.
Yeah,
we have been, ever since about October. So it's really kind of grown, and Dan's had the opportunity to just sort of tell me about him and about, you know, his ideas and how he processes things, and especially this. And it's really grown together. It's the first time I've ever really collaborated with somebody like this, so it's been very exciting.
And Justin, you and I were talking about this before we went on the air, just about how the composition that you've created, I mean, really been paying attention to the words that Bovary wrote and even the way that she speaks them and the rhythms of that, right? I mean, that's sort of worked into your composition.
Right. That's something that, again, just like Dan, I kind of had to start once I had the work to begin with. And I kind of chose different themes and ideas that kind of inspired me just from my own personal experiences, the way that she wrote. And I was like, well, what would I put here if I had to choose a musical theme to go mm-hmm. with or a musical motif? And then that, based on all the different philosophies and kind of ideas that we had been talking about for many months to lead up to.
Well, we've got a sample right here. I want to take a listen to real quick. What can you tell me about this, Dan, the piece we're about to hear?
It's a piece from the fourth stanza, which is about winter.
Winter finds a partner with night, and together they achieve liberty, atoning what has come before with a clean clarity only known by deep space. And this end of earthly seasons opens humbled closed eyes to once invisible dark matter, the endless percussion of new universes, the fissure multiplication, the new birth dashes old laws and dimensions, free from gravity, finally, as winter opens the gate for spring.
So that was the winter piece, and obviously you're dealing with all four seasons here. What's the evening going to be like for the opening? Does it all happen at once? I mean, what can people expect at the Art Council's 924 gallery for you, Dan?
Right, when you come into Gallery 924, it'll be like a regular first Friday, Idata first Friday opening. Paintings on the wall, photography, the video, and at 7 o'clock, we'll do a performance piece. And, you know, if we pack the house, maybe we can get Justin and Bovary to stick around and do another one at 8 or something.
And keep doing it on the hour every hour for the next 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
Great idea.
So, I mean, you all seem to have really enjoyed this process a lot. Sounds like maybe something you might be doing more of, or what do you think?
I tend to think of a show as a performance piece, you might say. I'm a painter, mm-hmm. but there's a three-dimensional space that I'm filling, and it's not only about what's on the wall, but there's interaction with the people, too. So when I think of having a show, and especially how it's always a big night having an opening, people come together, and from all people I'll know, people I don't know, from the art world, from without the art world, people just want to go out and have a good time. Mm-hmm. So what can I do for that space? And going from the fact that I'm doing video, which is action, it doesn't take too much of a stretch to say, well, let's just do some of it live.
So Dan, if someone buys one of your paintings, does that mean that Bovary and Justin go with them, or how does this work out?
I guess we'll have to attach a DVD or something, or maybe a little chip.
Starving artist.
Bovary, your eyes just got really wide.
like,
he never told me about this part.
I just want a good meal, you know?
Well, great. Well, thank you all very much. It sounds like it's going to be a great opening. I'm looking forward to seeing the performance, hearing it, and seeing the work of all three of you. Great to have you all on Art of the Matter.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Travis DiNicola with painter Dan Cooper, poet Bovary Taritas, and musician Justin Lahr. Cooper's show Seasons opens at Gallery 924 on June 1st. The Arts Council's gallery is located at, surprise, 924 North Pennsylvania Street. For more information about Dan Cooper, visit artistdan.home.comcast.net. artistdan.home.comcast.net. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Members of the Intimate Opera Company are back with a new twist on their Opera On Demand program. Sharon Gamble invited company members, singers, directors Amy Hayes, Larry Goins, and Megan Searles Todd in to learn more about this all-English program, as American as apple pie, coming up on June 1st and 2nd at the Fringe Basile Theater.
I love instant gratification and the way we live in society now. So I love that you're doing another Opera On Demand event. Explain how this works. And I don't know, I'm looking at Amy to start, but any of you can chime in.
Well, this is our third one. And we started off with having a list of things that people could choose from, but people are rather timid sometimes. And so we decided we would just give people little things to fill out. What do you want to hear next time? And lo and behold, we got a lot of American, modern, and they wanted to hear scenes. So we put together an entire program of American opera scenes. So usually when you have a concert, you get a lot of arias. Mm-hmm. But this gives you almost a sampler platter of four different operas by American composers. And it also gives you a feel for what the actual show is like, as opposed to having to sit through the entire thing. We figure if you hear 20 minutes of Copland and you like it, you'll want to sit through an hour
or
2 hours.
No, that makes perfect sense. On the other hand, if you only know Amahl and the Night Visitors, you might not know that Giancarlo Menotti did something else. So it's your opportunity.
Yes, and he's one of the composers on our program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're doing a scene from The Medium, Act 2.
Now, The Medium as in psychic, that kind of medium?
That yes. Kind of medium. Actually, Megan is playing Monica.
The medium's daughter, who helps her with her ruse to fool people into thinking she's communicating with the dead. So
she's not really?
Well, that is the question at the end, and we'll have to leave that up in the air. Wouldn't want to spoil anything. it's definitely a lot of variety in the program. We have everything from classic Americana and Little Women to things that are a little spooky, like The Medium.
Mm-hmm. Now, help me out here. I don't know Indianapolis's opera history as well as I should. I would be willing to bet that Copland's The Tenderland has been performed in full in Indianapolis.
I would think that it would have been. I'm directing that scene, and I've done some research on it. And despite the fact that Copland is really well known, it's not a well-performed opera.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful opera, and I've actually been in the chorus of one of the shows, but it was intended for television. It was commissioned by Rodgers and Hammerstein. And
how did that happen?
It was a kind of a competition grant, and they went to Copland and said, you know, write an opera, and he decided, well, it's for television, so I'm going to write something intimate. Exactly that, written for the medium of film. And
this was in the 50s?
It was in 54.
Yeah. Now, for listeners who don't know this, there was a time in the early days of television, I'm told, when television was going to be the great educator.
Mm-hmm.
So if you turn on your TV these days and you see, I don't know, Monster Truck Pills or reality TV or The Voice or Desperate Housewives or, you know, whatever, and you're thinking, what, an opera for television?
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when television was perceived to be this amazing tool, and no offense mm-hmm. to television and what has become today, but mm-hmm. but it was a different time.
Absolutely. Well, The Medium was written for television. There are quite a few composers who wrote for television. And then every station had their own orchestra. When you see the Tenderland, when you experience it, you know it was written for television. It was first performed. It didn't go on television. It was first performed at New York City Center. And it's a 2,700-seat theater. Mm-hmm. And it was panned. People hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? What were people's problems?
They didn't like the fact that it had very loose ends. It's not all wrapped up in a nice little bow at the end. Ah. The music itself is really well-suited for a small concert hall, but it does not translate well to a grand stage. 1,000 seats is just too big for that music to fill.
Would you call it a chamber opera?
I would, yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I performed it, it was in about 500-seat theater. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful that way because it's very small piece. It's about just people living on a farm and communicating with each other and strangers come into town and such. And hilarity ensues. It doesn't
Larry
really.
Larry is laughing. Yeah. Why are you laughing, Larry?
I think there's death. There's no death, but there is love. And I think most grand operas, there's a little bit of death always there. So that's the part that's missing, which I think probably a lot of people didn't get.
Yeah. You don't know what happens. I'm not going to tell you what happens.
Thank you.
The scene we're doing is from Act 1 and Act 2. So it's cut extensively to kind of give you a feel of the whole first part of the show. So we don't actually tell you what happens. You can find out if you want. And it would be a piece that I think down the road we would really like to do because it would be perfect for a small opera company.
So the chorus is also small?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're using every member of our troupe is in the chorus, and it is the chorus that they use is Stomp Your Foot. And it is one of Copland's really well-known pieces, mm-hmm. but The Promise of Living is also in that as mm-hmm. well. And a lot of times, because the choruses are beautiful that he writes, they will put more chorus in there. Mm-hmm. That's what they did with ours. They did the Walls of Zion and other pieces because the chorus was so good. If you have a good chorus, you want to hear more of it.
Sure. How about the medium? So the medium, also written for television, you said?
Yes, and I'm singing in that one. I'm actually directing Little Women. So I'm not sure of all the backstory on the medium. But Little Women, I was just thinking how interesting it is, talking about the medium and Tenderland being written for very small, intimate mm-hmm. Settings. Little Women was written for Houston Grand Opera. So a very large, grand setting. But they're similar in the way that I think all these shows are scenes that we're doing are very character driven and very subtle. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to me, actually, that Adamo's Little Women translated as well as it did to a huge hall. But it does. It's it's voluptuously written and enough sound to fill that big hall. And the story, I mean, we all love those four sisters from Little Women. And
well, we girls do.
Yeah.
Larry might be less familiar.
What do you think, Larry?
I don't think it was part of the repertoire for boys to read growing up.
No.
Yeah, interesting enough, Adamo said it was one of his favorite books. And as I read that, I was like,
really? When did he write this?
This was 1998.
Okay, so pretty recent.
Yeah, very recent. Yeah,
yeah. It's the most recent on
your newest
piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, they have a lot in common with the subtlety of the character and I think each scene is nicely put together too because you see the characters develop. Even if you don't know what happens in the plot, you're going to see mm-hmm. character development in each scene and get, I think, emotionally invested in the characters and want to see more. Mm-hmm. So very, yeah.
The great thing we did is we really took, maybe an hour and a half opera and we condensed it into 20 minutes, but we gave all the highlights, like street scene. I took all of the fun parts of it to bring it to people. I mean, people love the beginning introduction of Ain't It Awful the Heat, and they also love the Ice Cream Sexette, which, mm-hmm. I mean, is amazing. So we really condensed it just so you can get the flavor of the entire opera in one little snippet, and you don't have to sit through the whole thing. So, yeah.
So this street scene, I take it, takes place on maybe a summer day in a city?
It's actually, I think it was 1967, is the date. It's supposed to be on the east side of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, it's an apartment building. would not say it's your ordinary apartment. I think mm-hmm. today it's your ordinary apartment building, but there are about 22 characters. You have 8 families, and you learn about their lives. You have a lot of, there's adultery, there is gossip, there's a little bit of drunken neighbors, there's a little bit of love night fling, there's a little bit of, you would probably say, West Side Story, uh-huh. because the American girl falls in love with the Jewish boy, uh-huh. and there is death. Yeah. The adulteress gets killed by her husband at the end.
Ooh, you're telling us.
So, you know, well, since we don't show that in our scenes, that's easy for me to give out. But there's so much music. Kurt Weill actually said it was a Broadway opera, which I think is great. Mm, and it's
great description.
Great description of it. You know, it sort of lingers between being a musical and being an opera. So it sits mm-hmm. right in the middle of that, which is amazing. But the characters, and there's so many people. I've had the chance to do the Copeland as on Tenderland, as well as doing Street Scene. I actually did Mr. Buchanan, who's a nervous father whose wife's about to have a baby, but you never see the baby, the mother, but you always hear her screams, which I think is funny. There are these characters, you know. There's the Mrs. Florentino, who is a German woman who's married to an Italian man who sings the ice cream song. I think the whole thing is just a blast. I mean, it's just fun.
Yeah, it is. What happens on a New York City street in mm-hmm. summer.
Exactly.
So did you and your colleagues, I'm guessing given your backgrounds, you probably have heard the full opera in each of these cases. How did you decide what to excerpt? Did you each, as the director mm-hmm. of a given piece, kind of work on it and then bring it to your peers and say, does this work? Does this give the full flavor? So you had a little bit of a sounding board there, or was it completely independent?
It was a collaboration. Mm-hmm. Larry and I knew we were going to direct, but then we decided that, you know, directing and singing in your own show is really hard.
Yeah, I would think.
So none of us are singing in the ones we direct. I'm directing Tenderland. Larry's directing Street Scene. Megan's directing Little Women. And then Stephen Linville, who is not here today, he is directing The Medium. Mm-hmm. And then we're all singing in other pieces, even more than one. Actually, Megan is in all of them.
Working hard.
No exactly. pressure or anything.
And we all said, well, this is what I would like to do with this, and then made the copies, and, you know, this is you know, I was literally, with my copy, cutting it apart with scissors and putting it together. So then I was able to say, okay, we're going to do it this way and this measures. And for mine, I just wanted mine to flow as if it were just one piece. Mm-hmm. Whereas with some of the others, they're a little more set pieces.
Yeah.
And we just left it up to the director. And then Larry and I would take a look at it and say, yeah, this looks great.
In addition to having your audience want to come hear you all again, what do you want them to do at the end of the performance? Are you hoping that they will go online and get recordings of the full work in these cases? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. We want feedback from people, because Larry and I have ideas, and our troupe members have ideas. We have 7 new troupe members.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, so we're up to about 17 people. So we're always getting new voices for people to listen to, but we also want to hear what they have, what our audience has to say. And we can't all come up with the ideas ourselves. And we would like them to say, well, we want to hear some more opera. Mm-hmm. And what is happening in the city? What is happening outside of the city? And first step, maybe YouTube. go find some more clips of another show.
I think Amy and I have always said that we are definitely a grassroots opera company.
Right.
And I think the big thing is the word of mouth is very important. It's mm-hmm. a very huge marketing tool for us. So I think we both really would like people to walk away and say, oh my God, I had a great experience. there's this great opera company, you need to come go see them. And I think that will lead to other collaborations and will lead to a lot more things that we'll do in the future. Because, you know, I mean, I have big plans for this company.
Big plans, but to keep it small. Intimate.
It will always be intimate. I don't think we'll ever lose the sight of our mission statement. I think that's a very important thing for us. But we're definitely fortunate to have some collaborations going on. We're doing Maya Illusions with the Fringe Festival again this year. Mm-hmm. And that's based off of Gustav Holst's Savitri. And we're able to work with the New World Youth Symphony Orchestra, which is really good. And also, what's his name?
With Kyle Ragsdale.
Kyle Ragsdale.
That's intriguing.
Yes.
So
yes.
Is he doing paintings before the event? Or?
He is our visual designer.
Ah.
We can't give away what exactly he is doing because okay. That's very essential to the show. I will be directing that show. And actually, Megan and Amy will be playing in that on different times. But I've got some great ideas, so I can't give that away.
All right. Very good.
Sharon Gamble with Intimate Opera members, singers, directors Amy Hayes, Larry Goins, and Megan Searles-Todd. The next Opera On Demand concert, As American as Apple Pie, is Friday, June 1st and Saturday, June 2nd at 8 p.m. both nights at the Fringe Basile Theater. Learn more at intimateopera.org, again, intimateopera.org. You can also hear and see Intimate Opera in the Fringe Festival, performing pieces by Gustav Holst and visual design by Kyle Ragsdale.
Okay, Travis, do you have the list of things to take there?
Sunscreen.
Sunscreen, for sure. Sunscreen.
And lots of water.
Hat with a big floppy brim.
You got it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Some
binoculars,
food.
Earplugs, food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trail mix is good.
Trail mix. Yeah, doesn't the chocolate melt?
Leave out.
You eat it fast.
Yeah.
And the Indianapolis Star special section to keep track of all the stats.
Yeah, nicely done, Sharon. Uh-huh. Where are we going?
Woo! Oh, that was more like an F1 car. You do it.
No. You got it this year. There you go. You made your car sound. It's pretty good. That's right. It is, of course. Yeah.
It's Memorial Day weekend. It's race weekend, but there's stuff going on in the arts as well.
There are, and some things you don't even need binoculars or a cooler to enjoy.
That's right.
So
or a floppy hat.
We'll talk about them on that calendar we call.
What will we do?
Actually, I got something for Monday night, Memorial Day. So
good.
After all this weekend is over, a great way to celebrate the end of the long weekend. Head out to the Jazz Kitchen for the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. It's their 35th anniversary tour. This is going to be a great show of this terrific New Orleans group up at the Jazz Kitchen Monday night. How fun will that be?
Love that. Hey, speaking of music, more than 60 local artists are recording in Indianapolis's own City Dump Records studio for 24 hours straight, streaming live on the internet all the time. And this is going to go on starting June 16th at 12 p.m. into the 17th at 12 p.m. And you can watch live as well at NaptownNetwork.com. It is a local recording event for hip-hop artists, so that's kind of different, unusual, and you can put that on your calendar again anytime between 12 p.m. on June 16th to 12 p.m. on the 17th. NaptownNetwork.com for more info.
Very cool. Tuesday night, you can check out the next Da Vinci Pursuit performance. That's the sort of science and art museum that is kind of like a food truck because it shows up at different places around town.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one is going to be Tuesday night. That is May 29th, starting at 8 p.m. at the Chatterbox down on Mass Ave. And it is going to be featuring our harpist, Melissa Gallant, and also sound artist Michael Drew and Jordan Munson. And they're going to be collaborating in a live acoustic, electronic improvisation piece that basically uses the harp and then sort of twists it and turns it. And it's all very cool stuff. You can learn more at Da Vinci Pursuit, thedavincipursuit.com, or just go by the Chatterbox Tuesday night at 8 p.m.
Our next event is not necessarily a musical event, although you could stop and hear some music sometime during the night of June 13th from 6 to 9, when you're going to start at the Athenaeum, meet us at the A, for Scavenge the Avenue. It's a six-block urban scavenger hunt on Massachusetts Avenue to promote, to,
to promote awareness of adult literacy in Indianapolis, as well as the services and volunteer opportunities available through Indy Reads. Teams can consist of 1, 2, 3, or 4 participants. You need to register at indyreads.org through June 11th at $12 per person, or you can make an existentialist decision and register for $15 on the day of Scavenge the Avenue. Teams that complete the hunt are eligible for fabulous prizes. It is not a race. You don't have to hurry and finish first. So if you would like to stop at one of the lovely cafes, coffee houses, Starbucks is back open, by the way, for those who've been keeping track of that. Maybe you want to stop at the Chatterbox or someplace else along Mass Ave along the way and make a fun evening of it. You are encouraged to do that. Scavenge the Avenue, June 13th, 6 to 9. More info at indyreads.org.
Very good. Hey, the Woodruff Place Flea Market is coming up next weekend. So that is on June 2nd and 3rd. And it's basically all day, starting at 8 a.m. on Saturday and then goes until 5. And then also on Sunday, starts a little bit later. But the best stuff, of course, is always available on Saturday. Something new they're doing this year is at 3 p.m. Everyone is supposed to stop. This is both on Saturday and Sunday. And dance. It's an everyone dance break at 3 p.m.
Dancing in the streets,
in the sidewalks, in the esplanades, on the porches, on the trucks. Everyone dance sights. And so this should be a lot
of fun.
Will
there be music?
Of course,
or are we
there
just imagining
there,
it
no,
in our own
there
heads?
There will be music played. Definitely worth checking out. But the flea market is a ton of fun. Great stuff. Lots of stuff. It's one of the biggest ones ever. Great annual event. And that's in the Woodruff Place neighborhood, which is just a little bit east of college near downtown.
And your garden may benefit as well, because there are usually some folks who have perennials for sale. You can dance with a yarrow
plant. Is
that
a Cole Porter song? Perennials for
perennials
sale?
Perennials for sale.
Anyway.
Yes, there are naughty lyrics that have been suppressed. So before you get ready to go dance at the Woodruff Place Flea Market, you might want to go Friday night, June 1st, to A Night at the Cabaret. It's at 8 o'clock. The Indianapolis Men's Chorus will be performing at the Cabaret at the Columbia Club. It's an intimate musical evening. If you've been to the Cabaret at the Columbia Club, you know that there are the seating's kind of limited, so you might want to check that out ahead of time. To support the Indianapolis Men's Chorus on Friday night, June 1st, 8 o'clock, Night at the Cabaret.
That's going to be a great show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, a very cool show that is up at the JCC Art Gallery, that's Jewish Community Center. Tal, Joni, and Jeff Rothenberg, A Family's Vision. And this features the photography of 12-year-old Indianapolis native Tal Rothenberg, and also her parents are going to be exhibiting their work of some travels that they have taken, and lots of great safari pictures and other cool stuff. And this show runs through July 6th. It just opened, but check it out at the JCC.
Fantastic. This Saturday night, May 26th, 8 o'clock at the Garfield Park Pavilion, you can hear Eric Grayson talk about how movies got started. What did movies look like when they were first starting out? And you can view an interesting mix of films from America, France, and England as Eric helps you trace the roots of modern films. Again, that's this Saturday night, the 26th at 8 o'clock.
So if you are a sword swallower or a painter or a mime or a magician or juggler or singer or street drummer or guitarist or poet or contortionist, chalk artist, aerialist, whatever
magician.
You are, you could be, and you're interested in being part of the Fringe, they need street performers. And they are having a Indie Fringe street performer battle.
That's so cool.
It is cool. So you can get more information at the Indie Fringe website. That's indiefringe.org. And during the first week of June, from June 1st through 6th, they're having actually June 1st and 6th, excuse me, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Fringe, they're having a street performer battle. Should be fun.
Which of those art forms will you practice, Travis?
I haven't decided yet. Maybe all of them at the same time.
Sword swallowing and magic at the same time.
And chalk art.
And chalk, hey, I'm a chalk artist. Don't forget, on June 20th, June 23rd and 24th, the Indian Market and Festival coming up at the Eideljorg. A great place to go look at art, talk with artists, maybe purchase some art, food available, and it's a great family-friendly event. You can take your kids, and they are sure to learn more. That's coming up June 23rd and 24th at the Eideljorg. More info at eideljorg.org.
Hey, just a reminder, there's a lot of First Friday openings, of course, coming up on Friday, June 1st at the Harrison Center, as well as down at the Murphy Building, also at the 924 Gallery. Lots of great stuff going on and worth checking out, including at Primary Colors, Martin Kuntz's The Fun Machine Died. Looking forward to checking that out on Friday night for the First Friday Gallery openings.
And don't forget that coming up in Fishers on June 1st will be the I Am Piano Play Me project. I'm sorry, the event's actually June 2nd. The pianos are placed on June 1st, but you can view painters, sculptors, etc., starting at 11 o'clock and going all day in Fishers. They're going to be transforming these pianos into works of art. So how cool is that? It's part of the really Nickel Plates Arts Weekend.
Last thing I have is, it's another opening on June 1st. The Indie Artist Colony is presenting Striking Flints on Friday, June 1st from 6 to 9. And it's featuring Andrea Jackson, one of Indy's finest metalsmiths and jewelry designers, who's going to be the featured artist. And so that's why we have Striking Flints.
I get it. That's very cool. Hey, you know, the Indie Artist Colony has just had some spaces open up. They're live work spaces, and they're very affordable. So if you're interested in that, you can find more by Googling Indie, I-N-D-I-E-I-N-D-Y.
Hey, and want to remind people that the Museum Nights on the Canal, Concerts on the Canal, has started up at the Indiana Historical Society on the Canal, of course. And in fact, on Thursday, May 31st, the IUPUI Jazz Ensemble, playing big band and swing classics, will be performing Thursday night down on the canal.
And you'll hear more about that in an upcoming interview. But meanwhile, don't forget to pause and remember the real meaning of Memorial Day weekend, and be careful out there. Join us again next week for more arts events on that calendar we call
What Do We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Modus Dance Company's annual fundraising event Pairings brings together two of Travis DiNicola's favorite things, wine and dance. Travis talked with Heidi Keller Phillips, Modus's executive director, about this year's event.
Heidi, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Great to see you.
You too, Travis. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I love wine. I love dance. This is a great event. It also happens to be on my birthday. So,
oh, my goodness. Are you coming?
Well, you know, we'll just have to see about that.
I don't know.
There's going to be a lot of birthday surprises I'm working around. So, I have been to pairings before and had a great time. A really, I think, fun idea and a great way to showcase the Modus Dance Theater. Let's start with talking a little bit about Modus because, as we were just saying, it's your ninth year, which is fantastic. I remember when you guys first started, and it was like, oh, you know, it's so hard to start a dance company. And
it is.
And
it's
here you guys
start
are 9 years.
Arts organization, and we've got 9 years under our belt. It's pretty cool.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Big plans for next year.
So what is Modus? Modern Dance Company.
It is. It is a really unique place where choreographers and dancers can continue to create and share their voices, grow and teach, and it's ultimately a dance family. It's a collective and a community where people who identify themselves with dance can have a voice.
I mean,
home.
You started as a dancer.
I did.
And now you're the director.
Yes.
Also a choreographer?
Yeah, yeah. That the artistry never ends.
Yeah.
When you're taking over in an admin position, the artistry never ends. You're always involved on that level.
But it seems like, when you said that it's like a dance family, I mean, like, yeah. Many of the pieces that I'm familiar with Modus are choreographed by people who are also dancers in it. I mean, it does seem like it's almost sort of like a co-op.
It is. It's definitely a collective. There mm-hmm. are many voices who contribute, and that's why Modus shifts and changes year to year, almost, because our artists will change too, depending on the demands of their other lives. And that's the other big point, is while this is not a hobby, and I'm not belittling what we do at all,
mm-hmm.
this is a place where people who have other lives, full-time lives, as mothers and full-time workers in our community, have a home and a place where their art can really grow too.
That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great opportunity for a lot of people. I mean, can you say, like, I mean, how many dancers are part of the Modus company? Or does that kind of shift and change throughout the year, or piece by piece?
Yeah, it fluctuates quite a bit. I really can't give you a tally on that.
Yeah.
I can tell you that there are about 12 dancers involved in pairings, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now. And that can grow as we move into another project, and then shrink as we move into a different project. So
what sort of process do all of you have for deciding? I mean, when you have those many, that many voices.
Well, let me be clear that the core mm-hmm. artists stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the 5 or 6 core artists that we have all the time, you know, they can fluctuate, but it's not as much as the dancers fluctuate.
Mm-hmm.
Dancers can come and go as they please
mm-hmm.
And be involved in a project that they would like to be involved in. And they can audition, and then the core artists can take them and use them and use their voice as well. And then, but the core artists themselves are really part of the bigger Modus voice.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so that makes it a little bit easier too. So it's not just all chaotic.
No,
all the time.
No, there's not a whole lot of chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, we embrace the little bit of chaos that we do have.
Oh,
that works for us.
And now, in addition to the performances that you give and the work that the artists and dancers do, you also have classes too.
We do. We have a lot of classes.
Tell me about those.
Our classes really get people in to move in the way that they feel comfortable. There are a lot of people who grew up dancing. There are a ton of studios out there that cater to the young, and there aren't very many who cater to adults.
Mm-hmm.
So Modus, I would say, is a really great place for someone who grew up dancing and now uses it as a fitness avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all kinds of Piloxing and Buloxing. They use Pilates and boxing and ballet and boxing and infuse them together into a fitness class.
So like, I thought you were making that word up for a minute there.
No, it's totally real.
Okay.
I did make up the Buloxing, but it really works too.
and so you've got classes like that, but also traditional, modern.
Then we have the modern and the ballet, and we have that too.
Where are your classes held?
Down in Fountain Square,
mm-hmm.
1101 Hoyt, and all of this can be found on modusdance.com. Yeah, our schedule is up all the time, and we even have a nice little burlesque class that happens too for the dancey people.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
So Fountain Square is really the home of Modus now, especially since the pairings concert is taking place at the White Rabbit Cabaret.
True.
Yeah. Have you guys done anything with White Rabbit before?
Yes, we do many things with the White Rabbit.
We have a
nice connection, as mm-hmm. Deborah Silvius is an owner, and she is also a core artist.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
And also a great place to see burlesque sometimes.
It is,
as well.
Yes.
But so how does that space work out for dance? I mean, and you guys perform in sort of interesting venues. I mean, not always on a traditional stage.
That's true.
Yeah.
We do a lot of site-specific work.
Mm-hmm.
We've done cool stuff at the IMA on their pier. We did stuff down Mass Ave
mm-hmm.
in collaboration with Spirit in Place. But we like a stage, too. We like the opportunity to make movement for a stage. And the White Rabbit has a nice big stage. It's not a traditional space in the way that it's proscenium and you have wings and all of that.
Sure.
But you have beautiful lights and a nice big stage and a nice boundary between the audience and the stage. It works out really well, especially for something like this where it's cabaret seating and you want to see your people drinking the wine.
That's right.
And
so let's talk about the wine and the dance.
Yes.
Six pieces, right? Six
yes.
pieces, and each one is paired with a different wine?
Yeah, and we have a little trick up our sleeves this year because we're going to add a little bonus, and there will actually be seven pieces.
So there'll be you heard it here first.
A tiny little finale at the end where we will hopefully be collaborating live with Tonos Triad, who will be providing live music between the pieces.
Tonos Triad is the band?
Yes.
Okay.
So Republic National Distributing and Southern Wine and Spirits have sponsored the wine, and our first course will be a Pinot Grigio mixed with berries and kiwi, or paired with, I should say. And Deborah Silvius is choreographing that number, and it is very fresh and sassy, a little twisted and flickery. And then number two is a Chardonnay, also with National, and it is paired with Just Pop In cheddar popcorn. And it seems like a really
great
odd
popcorn.
Pairing, but it is a meal. It's divine. I love it. And it's choreographed by Jennifer Thomas. It is kind of light and poppy and a controlled chaos. There are bursts of energy like that you would associate with popcorn, and then smooth overtones that the wine provides.
Nice.
Really kind of nice, yes.
And sounds then, very well thought out.
We'll finish up the first act with a Cabernet Sauvignon, and that is provided by Southern. And this, best chocolate in town.
Oh, they are.
Nocturne Truffle. I am choreographing.
Love their dark chocolate nocturne.
I'm getting deep. I'm getting dark.
So this is your piece that you're...
This is my piece.
Okay.
I'm choreographing this piece. I've got mannequins, and we're getting creepy.
And the wine again for that one?
It's a Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I got a question I want to get back to you on that, but keep going through the rest of the schedule. So those are the first three, the first half.
Then after the small break... and this will all be hosted lovely with our fabulous Katie Casper, who is our founder and president for the first 6 years. And she is being dressed by both Harlow's and Swank. So she comes out in a fabulous outfit every number and has wonderful things to tell you about Modus and our history and a little something about the wine and the taste that you're tasting. So, second half will be a Prosecco. And it's being paired with cheeses and water crackers from Fresh Market.
Okay.
And this piece is choreographed by Michelle Buchanan. It's sophisticated and flirtatious. It's got a little jazzy, casual, yet alluring thing. It has a little bubbly thing.
Bubbly, of course.
But then it swoons, and it's a loungy summer day kind of feel going on with Michelle's. It's really nice. And the fifth one we have is a red Zinfandel. It's matched with little mini cherry Danishes from Panera. Yeah, this one will be choreographed by Caitlin Ryan. And it's a study on light and heavy affinities a little bit, because the cherry Danish is sweet and light. The red Zin is a little heavier and darker, and she's got some classic lines, and they're contrasted by a sharp switch to some heavy movement.
Okay.
It's very interesting. And the last piece is a Tawny Port paired with Pink Salt Caramels by Literally Divine Toffee and Truffles. And it is,
sounds very rich.
Yes, but it's lovely, and it's choreographed by Stephanie Squint. It's a solo, which is why we decided to do the bonus finale. And it is kind of dramatic, a little mysterious, and I'm dancing it. I'll be wearing this giant black skirt that I kind of have to have this sweet little tangle with. I need to wrestle with this. It becomes kind of a salty, bitter relationship with a lovely kind of beast there.
Okay, this just sounds terrific, and I mean, what I'm so delighted with is how well thought through the program is in terms of the dances and the food and the wine. How does that come about? I mean, for you, in your case, with the third piece that you mentioned, did the wine and the food come first? Did the dance come first, and then you looked for a wine to match with it? Just give me quickly sort of how that process works for all of you.
The wine comes first.
Okay.
We try to get the wine first, and then get sort of a tutorial from the people who are donating the wine mm-hmm. on what we want to pair with this, and then we get the food.
Okay.
And we sit down, choreographers, anybody who wants to come.
So the menu was essentially set first.
Not totally, but it's loosely set.
Okay.
And we have this artistic meeting where everyone gets to taste everything. And from there, we make slight changes to the menu.
Was there any wrestling going on as far as who got to go with, like, the tawny port?
Or, yes.
You know,
of
like, oh, I want
is.
That piece, or
yes.
I want that wine with my dance. Yeah.
Yeah. And some people had limited schedules, so they had to go first.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of that.
That had to be a lot of fun.
No, it's great. I love this meeting. I look forward to it every year. I do.
So now for your piece, so once you landed on the piece with the Nocturne Truffle, and the wine again was the Cabernet?
Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet. And that is... Southern. Mm-hmm. It's Murphy Good, California, Cabernet.
Okay.
Cabernet.
So then you created a new piece then,
I
essentially,
did.
For,
yeah. all
for
of
that?
These, pieces
these are all new
are
pieces.
New,
yeah.
Created for these parents.
The parents.
Really, honestly, created brand new original for these
Terrific.
Parents. And it's really a good way to get to know us because
mm-hmm.
they're kind of, it's kind of a quick process in a way, but it's a nice way to sample our artists and see them all in one place.
And sample some great wine and food.
That's right.
Heidi, real quick before we go, I know there's also a silent auction, lots of donations from arts organizations, and Kyle Ragsdale too, right?
Yeah, we've got some great stuff. Kyle Ragsdale really doesn't donate anymore, and we were lucky enough to get one of his pieces. Thank you, Kyle. And there are some wonderful gifts from Symphony on the Prairie, the Palladium, Clues Hall, Children's Museum, IMA. I mean, the list goes on and
Terrific.
On. It's awesome.
Travis DiNicola with Heidi Keller Phillips, Executive Director of the Modus Dance Company. Their event Pairings takes place on June 9th at the White Rabbit Cabaret in Fountain Square. Visit modusdance.com for more information. That's modusdance.com. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 4, when I'll talk with artist Douglas David about his new show in Fort Wayne.
I'll chat with author Sherry Wood Emmons about her novel, The Sometimes Daughter.
And I'll get a preview of Dance Kaleidoscope's Cole Porter performance. Plus, there'll be our arts calendar we call
What Do We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.